Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I discovered something as I prepared for today. And that is, if you go to Google and you type in the best things in life, one of the search suggestions, I think it's the second or the third, the best comes up, the best things in life are free. And if you click on that, I can see some people smiling already. If you click on that, or if you type it in yourself, the best things in life are free, Google gives you 8.3 billion results. And the very, very first one is a song that was in the charts back in 1992 called The Best Things in Life Are Free. And when I looked at this, there's a line in the chorus that says, it says this, it says, the best things in life are free now that I've discovered what you mean to me. Yeah, some of you already know that song. Yeah, they can think, some smiles and some nods there. I won't ask you where you know it from. But the point of that song, you know, when Luther Vandross and Janet Jackson sang it, the point of the song is one of these, you know, the love that we have is true love. And once we found true love, money can't buy the true love that we have. That's the point. Well, I mean, they're singing about true love, but, you know, we know they're not singing about the love of Jesus, which is true love. And just by even mentioning that song, I'm sure some of you already are still humming the chorus in your minds. Oh, what have I done today? The title of our sermon, as we can see on the screen, there is a price tag. And the sermon is titled this way because there actually is a price tag. A price tag for what, you might ask? And my response is a price tag for everything. There's a price tag for everything. Nothing is free, not even the best things in life, as Janet Jackson sang it with Luther. And our focus is taken from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Thank you for that. And in this verse, this one verse, we see Paul praying for the church. He's praying that they will receive peace from God. And he refers to God as the Lord of peace. Now, let me say this. I'm sure you know anyway. God considers peace to be a really, really important thing. So much so that he named his son the Prince of Peace. And not just that, there are a number of places where we see some really life-changing scriptures about what peace is or what we should desire in terms of peace. So we see Paul writing in Galatians chapter 5, where he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. And so these are the characteristics of Christianity that we should embody. You know, peace being one of the fruits of the Spirit. The second is where Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5. And he taught about being a peacemaker as one of the core attitudes of every Christian. So, let me give you a little bit of background as to what was going on. 2 Thessalonians, where we read it, where are the context of our scripture for today. The Thessalonian church at the time was fairly strong. They were doing fairly well. It was a fairly strong church, fairly confident. But it was being battered. The Thessalonian church back then was being battered by persecution. It was being battered by fear, by false doctrine. It was being battered even by sin. And these were the characteristics. This was what was going on. There were false teachers and false preachers who were peddling, I'll use that word, they were promoting a false peace amongst the people. They were promoting a peace that promoted presumption, assumption and presumption, a peace that was based on pride, not based on truth. It was a peace, a false peace, that came from people thinking that they were inherently worthy before God. People thought, you know, because they do good things, it means that they're good people, and before God, they were worthy, and so there was nothing else to think about. And it is into this situation that Paul is saying that he prays for a sense of peace. He prays for peace. There's a saying that says, I didn't say it, it's been around for many, many decades. It says a text, talking about scripture, a text taken out of context is a pretext for anything. And it's critical, it's really important when we look at this particular text where Paul is saying, I pray for peace. It's important that we understand it within its context, not just as a narrative, as a soundbite. So looking at this focus verse, as I say, Paul is praying for peace, but he's praying for peace, peace that comes as a result of a price paid. Peace that comes as a result of something done, as a result of, not just peace that just comes. The price that is paid for this kind of peace is not the price about it's not the price of being complacent before God. The price of seeking and striving to do what is right is the price that is paid. It's the price of seeking to be righteous. You see, this is also the price of calling out what is wrong. And he talks about this in the text. And if you read the whole of 2 Thessalonians 3, if you read the whole chapter, you'll see that particularly in the middle section from about verse 6 to about 12-ish, around there. You know, Paul is talking about people who are getting things wrong. Because it's not just simply because they're busy. They're being busybodies, is the phrase that the NIV uses. Yeah, he and Paul is calling them out. He's saying, this is wrong. You're out of order. He says all these things before he gets to the point of peace. But look at verse 15 very, very clearly. Verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians 3 has this phrase. And one of the things I'm very particular about calling wrong, wrong, and calling right, right. Isaiah said, I think it's Isaiah 25, or is it Isaiah 5:20? One of the, I know, I think it's chapter 20, verse 5, that says, woe unto those who call good evil and call evil good. So I'm very, very particular about calling good good and calling evil evil. But we've got to do it the right way. And Paul alludes to that here in verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, do not regard these people, the people who are doing this wrong, do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them in the way you would warn a fellow believer. You see, this is the price of true peace from God, the peace that we seek, yeah, that we continually seek, the peace that helps us to foster an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can move freely, move without hindrance, the peaceful environment of God. This is part of the price that we pay. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask you three questions. Give me a show of hands here. How many people here, hands up, like to be told off? Okay, I see a total of none, okay. Let me ask you another question. Second question, how many people, I wrote it a particular way, where's question two? Okay, who here thinks discipline is a good idea? Okay, I went from a grand total of none to a grand total of all, okay. So here's my third question. Really, really, fundamentally, what's the difference between question one and question two? Exactly, how I put it. The truth of it is correction, rebuke is part of discipline. We think discipline is it, but nobody likes to be told off. But here's the truth. As we mature, not just in life, as we mature in faith, we recognize and accept and understand that boundaries are good, that guidelines are good, that correction is good. However, punishment in any form, whether it's verbal punishment or otherwise, doesn't feel good. We know that. But here's another side. It absolutely doesn't even feel good. We know it doesn't feel good to be on the receiving end, but it absolutely doesn't feel good to be on the giving end as well. When you're doing it well, when you're doing it right, for the right reasons to help this person, knowing fully well that what you're going to say, then you know, you're going to say to them, listen, we want peace in this place. When you're trying to call out wrongdoing, you know, we know it's very, very difficult. I had a situation some time back where I had to go into a disciplinary meeting. Well, you call it a disciplinary meeting. That's the phrase I'm going to use, with a brother in my church. And trust me, the night before this meeting, I barely slept. You know, Sumi will tell you, I don't play with my sleep. I just, you know, those of you that know me, I don't know if I've said it before. Remember those dolls? You put the doll down and the eyes close and you lift it up, the eyes open. That's how God created me. Trust me. Put me down 5 minutes, I'm gone. You know, it doesn't matter whether I'm on the beach, I'm on sand, in the sun. Once I lie down, don't talk. I'm gone. Oh, man. But that night, I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. The burden of telling somebody off with the right heart is a very heavy one. Calling them out on their wrongdoing so that they can do right. It's not an easy thing when you remember that Jesus died for that person. Jesus paid a price for that person that neither you and I or I could ever pay. I'm sorry, I love you, but would I die for you? I don't know. Do you understand what I mean? Jesus paid a price that I don't think I could pay. Because he died for them whilst they were still sinners. You know, yet, calling out the wrongdoing is part of what we see in our text. It's part of the price of peace that Paul alludes to. And this is part of the price we have to pay. You know, if you've been following the services on the website or on social media, you know, no doubt you'll see every sermon, every upcoming sermon has a synopsis for the sermon. And those of you who are our devotional leaders here and preachers, you will have seen in the preaching rota the synopsis for today's sermon. The synopsis says, we all like to win. It says, God's promises towards us guarantee that the victory is ours. However, just because you have the answers doesn't mean you don't have to sit the test. On the promises of God, as a bare minimum, we need to still stand. There's something that we have to do. There's a part that we have to play. And so again, I assert that nothing is free. Absolutely nothing. You know, a couple of weeks ago in the sermon was titled Understanding Your Worth. I showed a stone. I don't know if you remember it. I showed a stone. I called it the scaffold stone. And the scaffold stone sits on the desk in my study. And if you remember, it came from the top of Scaffold Pike, which is England's highest peak, highest mountain, when I climbed it in 2017. Scaffold Pike is about a mile upwards, you know, in terms of sea level. It's about a mile above sea level. So, you know, that way. But let me clarify. For those who don't know, when you climb a mountain like that, you don't go up in a straight line for 1 mile. Usually you follow a route, and that route zigzags up the side of the mountain, round and round, till you get to the top. And there are a number of routes to the top of Scaffold Pike. The one that I went with a brother at the time, the one that we took was about 6 miles long. So, how did we get to Scaffold Pike? The best way, for those who don't know, to describe it is, basically, you're just walking upstairs for about 6 miles. That's what it took to get to the top of this mountain. And trust me, it took us hours to get there. And by the time we got there, everything was hurting. You are walking uphill for 6 hours. And obviously we're carrying water, we're carrying snacks, we were carrying walking poles because it was my first time. I didn't know what to expect, you know. But if you think it was hurting when we got to the top, imagine what it was like when we had to then make our way back down that mountain. Trust me, by the time we got to the bottom, I was convinced my eyelashes were aching. It was that bad. But here's one thing, you know. I love to talk about getting to the top of Scaffold Pike. I do. It's an achievement for me. And I talked about it, how, you know, many, many times in my life, for so long in my life, I was great at starting things but not finishing them. And Scaffold Pike was just another stamp, another thing that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We've got to be about it, not just talk about it. And it was a way for me to tell myself, to remind myself that I can finish, I can keep going. And, you know, I love to talk about getting to the top of Scaffold Pike. I love to talk about crossing the finishing line when I ran the London Marathon a while back. What I rarely talk about is the price that I needed to pay to achieve those things. I don't often talk about, you know, the planning for Scaffold Pike, going to the gym, setting the treadmill at 30 degrees uphill, and then walking on that thing or jogging on that thing for 2 hours uphill just to strengthen my legs and my stamina. I don't talk about, when I talk about the London Marathon, I don't talk about going for a run in the park at 7 p.m. in November, when it's dark and wet, or at 5 p.m. in February when it's absolutely freezing. I don't talk about that stuff. You ran the marathon, didn't you, Alan? Absolutely. So you understand that. You know, so, oh, we crossed the marathon, it was great. Oh, there's the medal, hallelujah. We don't talk about the price that was paid. You know, when you see Temilade, you know, 6.5 hours at St. George's Hospital, it's easy for me to stand here and say, wow, you know, labor was pain-free. Of course it was. My wife is in the other room going, what? I need to talk to him. Of course it was pain-free for me, but not for her. Just because I wasn't the one bearing the pain doesn't mean there was no pain to bear. Although she brings joy to my world, though. Woo! And, you know, with that joy, it's easy to forget. It's easy to ignore the pain. And when you look at this girl and we look at her and the joy she brings to our lives, we go, you know what? Was worth it. Was worth it. You see, like I've said, nothing is totally free. Absolutely nothing. And sometimes we just don't realize how true those words are. Even salvation isn't totally free. Of course, it's free for us. We don't pay for it. But that's because Jesus already settled the bill. He's already paid. It doesn't mean there was no price to pay. Just like it says on the poster in the foyer, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. He paid it. And so, simply, through today's text, Paul is praying for peace. And in the same way that he prays for their peace back then in the first century, I am praying for our peace right now in the 21st century. And it is my prayer that you also will know true peace. And that is true peace that comes where the price we pay is not based on science, it's not based on social distancing. True peace, where the price we pay is not based on biology or technology or human ideologies. True peace, where the price that we pay is not based on media, it's not based on money, it's not based on the imagination or the machinations of men, of human beings, where the price we pay is not based on our limited experience or our sense of intelligence, where the price we pay is not based on human reasoning or rationalization or reliance on self. True peace is what I pray for you. Now, look, let me clarify something. All of these things I talked about, you know, money, education, you know, tralala, these things can give us a sense of peace, of course. Science, biology, money, media, technology, you know, we get a sense of peace from social distancing. We get a sense of peace from using hand sanitizer, from the monthly salary. It gives us a sense of peace. You know, the telephone call, the text messages, the WhatsApp videos that we watch, or the, you know, going on Facebook and seeing that quote from Maya Angelou. You know, even though half of them are not things that she said. You know, they give us a sense of peace. But it's not true peace. Those things can give us a sense of peace in the same way that, you know, drinking, if you're thirsty and you drink a fizzy drink, you say, yeah, my thirst has been quenched. Or you drink a cup of coffee, my thirst has been quenched. They give us peace in the same way that, you know, you're thinking, oh, what am I going to have for lunch? And you eat a whole chocolate cake. Yes, you know, you'll get filled up. You know, your hunger will be satisfied in the short term. But your health will be in jeopardy in the long term if you continue like that. And it's important to remember, Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Peace at all times and in every way. So think for a moment about those places, that place where you could really do with peace. And let me say those words to you again. Peace at all times and in every way. Think about the places where you've struggled, where you've lacked confidence, where you're not sure what tomorrow will bring. And I'll say those words again. Peace at all times and in every way. Maybe the peace that you need is at home. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's with your money. Maybe it's right here in church. Maybe it's to do with, you know, your career prospects. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a decision that you are facing. Maybe it's with something else that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind right now. That place where you need peace. I want you to focus, hold that before God. As I say that phrase again, peace at all times and in every way. Saints of God, to access peace at all times and in every way, part of the price that we pay is living out our faith whilst encouraging somebody else to do the same. This is the price for the lasting peace that can only come from God, the Lord of peace. And maybe you've tried to root your peace in the wrong place and you recognize that it hasn't lasted. Maybe today you need to bring your focus back to God. Well, today's a good day to do that, to change things. Let God, let his word, his will, his way be your foundation for peace. And as you do so, as you yield those things to him, as I said, very simply today, as you yield those things today, I also pray for you. The words that Paul used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. That the Lord of peace himself will give you peace at all times and in every way.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.